Welcome to Slug's bi-weekly Slug Soundwaves podcast. Here, in our print mag and on slugmag.com, enjoy our curated content that highlights the best of Utah's alternative and underrepresented music, arts, events, and community subcultures. If Slug has benefited you or someone you love, consider contributing to sustain our existence. Head to slugmag.com/donate to join our community of donors.
KRCL was founded in 1979 to bring a more diverse voice to Salt Lake City and surrounding areas. KRCL is community funded and supported, which allows diverse commercial free programming that varies from indie to hip hop, blues to bluegrass, metal, punk, indigenous, and bilingual programs. Every weekday at 6 p.m., KRCL's Radioactive brings you grassroots activism and civic engagement with punk rock farming and live local music on Fridays. Tune in to KRCL at 90.9 FM. Stream at krcl.org or download the app on the App Store.
Shh. Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves. My name is David Payne. I have an art project called the Gallery of Fine Hyper Art, which abbreviates to the GOFA, if you want. And my collaborators are... I had one friend who made a piece that's on there, and I have one guy who was an inspiration to try to embrace that medium. Josie Drew is the lady who made a piece on there. Greg Bales is the guy who was my inspiration to start doing that. What I'm doing is I'm trying to make fine art that is in, well, the medium is arcade machine. And I call it hyper art, actually. It's the Gallery of Fine Hyper Art is what that abbreviates to. It's the Gallery of Fine Hyper Art. It's a mobile art gallery, so it's built into a bus. But it's not supposed to be mobile. There's nothing about it that's mobile. It's actually crazy that it's mobile. But if you didn't know what hyper art was, the duality is you've seen it tons of times before. It's an entertainment, an amusement device is what it's called. It's licensed, they're licensed as amusement devices originally. In the old days, it was a object that you'd walk up to and it would do like a little puppet show or a little cartoon or something like that, or some mechanical curiosity. And then at some point, that form turned into what we'd just call a video arcade game. And they're games. They're gaming machines. They're also the equivalent, historically, they're the equivalent of like a Big Mac box that you'd throw in the garbage, because they were always capitalist commodities. Like they're just supposed to, they'd make one. Some company would make one, try to get as many quarters as they could. As soon as the quarters were running out, they'd throw it in the garbage. So it's kind of this disposable art form historically, and never an art form historically. But I'm trying to, well, that's the medium I've chosen, is this object. And if you've never seen one before, what you'd walk up to it. They're all pageants of mortality. They're all mortality dramas. So you'd look at every single one, get the courage to engage with one, go to the dollar machine, put your dollar in, get some quarters out, and then dare to put your quarter into this machine and see how long you can live in this interaction with the machine. And you'd touch the controls and try to figure out what the choreography is to live a long time and die. Well, the reason I call them hyper art pieces is because they are, I kind of envision these objects as multifaceted fine art crystals where every facet has to join perfectly for it to function. And fine art, I have a definition for fine art, which is either expensive or laborious. And these, and every facet is not really expensive, I guess, but insanely laborious, especially to join them together is what's the hard part. The sculpture ain't that big of a deal. The electronics aren't that big of a deal. The computer is a magic level object because I couldn't even make one. The programming is just the worst medium, the most difficult medium I could imagine. It's like making a sand sculpture in the wind. It's just impossible. But the program has to incorporate the music, which I'm a musician originally, so like that part is pretty easy, but it's actually pretty hard to make it match. The choreography is, well, let me just list them. Choreography, sculpture, sound design, light design, narrative, audience interaction. I guess those are the facets that have to seamlessly join. And by seamlessly, I mean perfectly join, or else it doesn't work at all. The reason I wanted to make these games is because it's a medium that I've enjoyed. It's been my favorite medium since I was 12 years old. I've always kind of, it was actually pretty fresh when I was 12 years old, so it's always been a very magical medium. Ironically, I didn't really even understand it until I started to try to do it. I would very clearly look at video games that existed and just, you know, like them or not even care. After working on that stuff, if I saw just any digital autonomous art, I'd just be blown away, no matter how stupid it was, because I know how hard it is to make. So the reason I make my own games is because I'm an artist. I enjoy the art form. To express myself, I'm using this medium. So the games that I've made are the pieces of hyper art that I've made, that's what I call them. I don't call it hyper art all the time. But my artworks are, so my little brother is a jazz artist and a composer, and his name is Joshua. And he had a 9-piece jazz orchestra here in Salt Lake City for years and years and years and years and years. He did that for a living. He just played in his jazz band. But his 9-piece band, he would compose for and he would play pop-up concerts around town in the early part of the century. He would play pop-up shows is what you'd call them now. But they were just guerrilla shows is what we called them back then. And he would go stake out. He'd go walk around downtown and see where the security guards were and stuff like that and try to find places that we felt we could get away with the show. And he would do a show every Friday night at midnight, basically from midnight to 1 during the summer months. And one of my pieces is just a document of that. It's a documentary game. And it features the music that we played. I played the saxophone in the band. And the character that you play is my little brother's kind of brand, which was this polar bear. He'd always draw himself as a polar bear on the flyers. And then you would be the polar bear and go through, you know, role play some of these concerts we did. Well, another facet of my personal artwork is the tradition of, they're called shmups. And shmups are a traditional video game format where your avatar flies around the screen, but the background is moving, has a narrative quality. So like you're going from one place to another place, and you're basically trying to go one direction, shooting bullets that same direction, and everyone else is shooting bullets the other direction and trying to keep you from going that direction. And that's the format that game is. It's called JPO, and SLC is the name of the piece. And that's actually, I'll probably just only make shmups. That's like, that's the structure that I want to use. That structure is really significant because that format has always struck me as kind of the most primal, where video games, they're not all like this anymore. But when I was a kid, in my formative years, they were all mortality dramas, all. So they were all challenging. They were all, they were only narrative kind of as a background to being challenging. So that aspect of it kind of resonated with me as I grew up, got older, learned a little bit more about the human condition and learned about our evolution and learned about like how animals are and where life comes from and stuff like that. They're primal. I think they really resonated with me genetically, this thing called shmups, because they're so focused. Like it's just one singular living object going one direction, everything else is in opposition, and there is a narrative quality, and it's a death drama. Well, for the layperson, the way shmups work is the camera is either looking down at the top of your character or from the side, and you're traveling at a set speed, basically, over some environment, and then you are something that can effortlessly fly, usually a spaceship. In the case of mine, a polar bear that flies. In JPO and SLC, the background is the locations we used to do our gorilla shows at. The narrative of the game starts, I can't even say game. The narrative of the documentary starts with a tweet from Twitter. That's from Twitter, if you remember. There was a tweet that said, 12 o'clock, location, and it would say the location. So you start the game, go to the first location, and the first one is an abstract, of course, since you're a flying polar bear and shooting bullets and stuff. But we played a show at the covered thing at the right across from the Capitol, across the canyon from the Capitol, like that where they keep all the salt or something or the dirt. But it's this beautiful little place with seats and stuff like that. So we did one there. That was kind of a scary one. And in the first level of the game, you fly over those hills, over the hills north of Salt Lake City. And you go out towards the airport. And then the drama, like all documentaries, it's dramatized. And the drama is that you stayed up too late, and then you have to fight the boss over the airport. And then at the end of the level, it calculates how many notes you've played, and it says you brought something along the lines of you brought this many smiles and this many frowns or something like that. you've caused this much pain with your artwork and brought this much smiles with your artwork is kind of what it says in reference to my brother's band, you know? And then the next level, you fly through downtown. We used to play in Plum Alley, which has a great history, and that was kind of a special spot for us to play. So you fly through, you know, kind of through Plum Alley. The next level, you go through you start in Memory Grove, and then you're transported magically back to 1999 when there was a tornado. On the day of the tornado. And the tornado comes and rips up all the trees, and the final boss is the tornado. And then on the next level, you fly over the city, out over the Great Salt Lake, and fight the final boss. And at the end of the game, the polar bear defeats the boss and then thinks that he still can't get all of his artistic angst out, so he has to chase the ghost of the boss to Los Angeles, which is what my brother did. Oh, yeah. So this game is true collage. It's a true Google collage. All the artwork is collaged from found footage. The way that the images were composed is I would just Google images of Salt Lake City, Google images of whatever I needed, Google images of a polar bear, and then animate them and, you know, manipulate them until they were right for the game.
Texoteric fist. Humiliated. Humility.
So in the Gallery of Fine Hyper Art, there's 8 pieces. One of them, Josie Drew made. It's called The Space Comrade. One of them, 3 of them I made. One's called JPO and SLC. The other one's called Funipaki Anti-Humu Red Bennies. Futurist, Nihilist, Post-Rock, Cyberpunk Music. Futurist, Nihilist, Post-Rock, Cyberpunk Funipaki. It's an abbreviation of Funipaki Antihumu. Futurist, Nihilist, Post-Rock, Cyberpunk, Anti-Humanist Music, Red Bennies. That's the name of the game. And then the third one I made is called A Long, Long, Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far, Far Away. And it's a Star Wars piece. It's a study of intellectual property on Star Wars. It's a Star Wars Aliens crossover, actually. And that one, actually, it's a masterpiece, but it's not my masterpiece. It's truly just a collage. And I did that so I could learn the program so I could make the Red Bennies one. And then there's 2 other classic pieces on there from the 80s, basically. And then there's 2 other pieces from the peak of the art form, which is the early, early 2000s. I built the GOFA the year before COVID, so it must have been 2019. My grandfather died, and I got $10,000, and I blew it on that. And my best pal, Josh Stipik, DJ Falkion B, my favorite synthesizer artist, he runs a fabrication shop, and he helped me, showed me how to use the grinder and stuff like that. I introduced the GOFA to the public I built it the winter before COVID. And then I actually didn't really introduce it to the public until maybe the second year of COVID, or, you know, probably near the end of this. I can't remember. I can't remember when things lightened up. Was it 2 years later? Let me put it this way. When I introduced it, someone came and squirted a bunch of, sanitizer. Someone came and squirted hand sanitizer on me, like on my, you know, started squirting it all over my hands, because you have to touch quarters to use it, you know? So it was like, you know, it wasn't, the air was not cleared. Well, as a musician, that's kind of my... I'm an arcade artist now, but my whole life I've been a musician. So I don't think I would make another piece that's not an expression of some music that I am spending this, you know, a lot of time on also. And what I've actually, there's a musical project called the Red Bennies that I've kind of done my whole life that has been my goal this whole time. So basically I've spent so many years, I just made the JPON SLC was just so I could learn how to do it so I could make the Red Bennies one. Then the Star Wars was just a test, just a learning experience so I could learn the program and then make the Red Bennies one. So that's what I've been working towards. And I think, like, you know, that many years ago when I picked up the computer for the first time and I was like, I guess I'll like try this video game program, you know, I drew a picture, like I made the pictures for the Red Bennies one, like first thing, you know. So it's a project that's, I wish I knew the number, but it's like 12 years, 12 or 13 years, my whole life, since I was 12 or 13, plus 12 or 13 years of actual real, like, mindless hobbying, mindless faith-based hobby labor. And the Red Bennies one is what I'm working on right now, and a couple years of hard work, two or three, I got level one done, and then another year's gone by, and I'm just about done with level two. I'll probably be done this month. And you can see that over at the International Bar. That's where I keep them. I keep them over at the bar. Two of them. I keep JPO and the Red Bennies one over there. And then the restaurant on the bus. I make three copies of each, just so you know. I make three copies of each. One is at the West Valley Arcade, the West Valley Mall. Arcade Galactic in West Valley Mall, Valley Fair Mall is what it's called, is this world-famous arcade that I don't know if anyone really knows how special it is. The guy who runs it runs like the premier world arcade blog for the English-speaking half of the world. And he has a bunch of really, really rare games in there, maybe two or three, like almost one-offs. But anyways, mine's a three-off, and I keep one over there. And as soon as I get level two done, I'm going to take that one over there too. And JPO has been over there for years too. The pinnacle of my music work and arcade work is this Red Bennies video game, futurist, nihilist, post-rock, cyberpunk, anti-humanist music. Red Bennies is the name of the game. Funipaki Anti-Humu, Red Bennies. And the band is actually not a music band, but a concept band. We are a texoteric theist worship music group. And the arcade machine is an expression of that concept. So it's like a narration of the same stuff we talk about in our songs and in our acting and stuff like that, you know? So the piece, there's only one level. So there's only one song. But I happen to actually bring the music from the second level because, like I said, it's almost done. So so in this game, the one that I would want to share is the music for level two of Funipaki Anti-Humu, Red Bennies. And the thing that's special about that piece is Red Bennies is a very old band that's had lots and lots of iterations, but this is I feel kind of the final crystallization of all my efforts in that group. Oh, and then the name of the song is Sai Gayarez. Sai Gayarez. This is a song that bites. There's this one song in a famous shmup from probably 1993 or something like that. And I've bitten pieces of this one song for three different Red Benny songs, I guess. You know, there's only three pieces in the song. But I've bitten every single one of them. And then now, as kind of a more mature grown-up, I thought to myself, I better just honor the song and try to play the song. So this is this is an arrangement of this specific song from this video game called Gyarez. And it's called Psy also. Psy is my part. Gyarez is the second part. And you're about to hear this song in its entirety with the sound design of the arcade machine. you enjoyed this episode of Sound Waves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
This episode was produced and edited by me, Nate McQuivy, and promoted by the Slug Magazine editorial staff. Be sure to check out this month's issue of Slug. You can find a copy anyplace cool or at slugmag.com.
Did you enjoy this episode of Slug Sound Waves? You and the local community can continue to enjoy Slug Mag's content for free, but please consider making a one-time or ongoing contribution. Each contribution, no matter the amount, helps support Slug's creation of thoughtful media coverage on SLC's music, arts, events, and community subcultures. Head over to slugmag.com/donate to make your contribution today.